Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello and welcome to the Churros y Tacticas podcast on a Monday after an extremely eventful weekend in La Liga. So much happened. There was the stuff that was really, really loud that took the headlines. And, Diego, there was a lot of cool stuff that I think should be magnified more. For example, Jesus Areso, the game winner versus Getafe for Osasuna, was unbelievable. A goal that we see, if we're lucky, once every 25 years, and I don't think has happened since Roberto Carlos did it against Tenerife. That kind of goal, the acute angle, like basically on the sideline near the corner flag.
Corner flag.
Unreal. Wow. Artem
Dovbyk. I need to check that out. That's one of my favorite goals of all time.
It's unbelievable. It's physics defying. We also had Artem Dovbyk score a six-minute hat-trick against Sevilla in what was an absolute bloodbath where Girona destroyed Sevilla, who continued to be a disaster. This one's up your alley, Diego. Barcelona had two 16-year-olds on the field for only the second time in La Liga history, and a Ferran Torres, Ferran Torres show, an Isco show, and you guys had a big balls W in one of the toughest away stadiums in Spain. Last but not least, Almeria up 2-0 at halftime at the Bernabeu in improbable fashion, nearly up 3-0 at the stroke of halftime. Feeling pretty good going into the second half. And football gods were like, nope. No, sorry, we already wrote the script for this one, guys. The most stereotypical Real Madrid game, 100th minute, chaos and pandemonium as Carvajal scores, and I'm just sitting here like, yeah, of course, that's what happened. So, sorry, Almeria, I know it sucks. And, of course, ensuing meltdowns from everybody, from Xavi, from Garitano, from the fans. Anyone basically not a Real Madrid fan was just melting down like the robot in the Terminator.
Wouldn't go that far. I think a lot of Madridistas have also spoken out against the travesty that we saw take place at the Bernabeu last
night. Not from what I've seen.
Well, okay.
I think there was probably a few yesterday, but I think once everyone saw the replays, they were like, oh, okay, it was all the right call. And I think everyone just kind of... If there was any lingering, it all basically was put to bed after that. But we can get into it.
Absolutely not. Maybe over in Nova Scotia, but certainly not.
The only thing I can say that I was kind of annoyed with is that still Diego, Real Madrid players just getting the shit kicked out of them and never a card shown to the opponent. And it's just free reign. And as soon as we react and we clap back or we complain about it, it's a yellow card to one of our players. That's the only thing that really drives me nuts. But the rest, I mean, it was Jesus. Clear game. But we can get into it. Where do you want to start? I can start anywhere you want, Diego. I'm going to let you do it.
Well, look, you mentioning that anybody but Madridistas were up in arm with what took place at the Bernabeu. I discrepo completamente. I disagree wholeheartedly. Okay.
You may have seen.
I was surprised, dare I say, a little bit relieved, or it gave me hope that, hey, you know what? There is some balance. There is some nuance in this crazy world and crazy Liga that is being covered by the local media, international media. But to quote one of the longest covering journalists for Real Madrid, you're talking about a career that extends decades. I mean, I think four decades, over 40 years. He's now the director of one of the most read Madridista newspapers in the country, at least. And that's us. I'm talking about Alfredo Relaño. He said that last night was one of the darkest nights in the history of Real Madrid. And
I respect him, but he's wrong. He's wrong.
Well, let me just finish here. That this will be remembered for decades to come, and that the work, the hard work done by Real Madrid TV has basically now given, it's basically, you know, it's a job well done. It's proven to be effective in yesterday's game, a game where we had a newbie, let's say, a new referee on the scene. By that, I mean a referee who had never before called a Madrid game, buckle under the pressure, where also a Hernández Hernández, who, of course, Real Madrid TV blasted before the game, as they do week in and week out with their videos, had put under suffice pressure to basically skip the usual protocol and call the shots for the referee in charge in yesterday's game. By that,
the referee still has the final call. The referee still has the final call.
Did you hear the VAR? Did you hear the?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I did. I think VAR correctly intervened to. That's what VAR is for. It's there to intervene on game-changing calls, and that's what they did. It was correct. I'm glad they intervened.
If you read the scriptures, the dialogue, let's say, that was put out, he says. He basically decides a form. He says, here are the images of the no handball. He hits it with his shoulder.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That already, you know, it's basically taking away the authority, or already insinuating that, hey, it's not a handball. It's the referee's decision. All the VAR has to do, the people in VAR, is basically provide the images with the correct angles, mind you. The angles that were shown, I hope that you can at least agree with me, they were far from the best images, the best angles. We didn't get a frontal vision until in the post-game shows, that where you could clearly see that effectively, you know, it Vinicius hit that ball with his bicep, not with his shoulder whatsoever.
It hits him right here. There's clear. Look at the video that Vinny himself posted on Twitter today. This is not a handball, bro. This is not a handball, this part of the arm.
The rule states it's from the armpit up. That's where you draw the line.
Yeah, correct. Armpit up. But if we're measuring it on the arm, it's where my sleeve is. It's where my sleeve is. See my short sleeve on my video? No, the rule changed. This shoulder, this part, is not part of the arm since 2022. It's a correct call, Diego. It's the correct call. Let me tell you what happened yesterday, bro. Everybody hates Real Madrid. Everybody was waiting for something to happen. Everybody was waiting for Real Madrid to get the benefit of the VAR. And then everybody exploded. And also, it was Vinicius, who everyone hates, so they all jumped on. They saw Garitano go like this, I'm done, and everyone was just hysteria. You can't, at that point, that's why I didn't get involved, because I knew people were too emotional. I knew that the next day, when everyone sees the images, they'll all calm down and realize they were all the correct calls. This is only hysteria because the media and fans love hysteria. That's what we do. Relaño, by the way, when was the last time AS got a scoop from Florentino? They've been basically cut off from them for years. Just pointing that out as well.
Okay, let me, in my clumsy, non-professional way here, please.
I love how your phone matches your jacket. Uh-huh.
Please.
Yeah. I see it. We're looking at the same thing. Yeah. Yeah.
Are you kidding
right here,
me right now?
Right here. Right here. Look at me right here. The poor listeners on Spotify, Apple have no idea what we're doing. But Diego is showing the image of...
It is almost...
And now we're going to get a copyright ban on YouTube for this.
I doubt it. That is closer to his elbow than it is to his shoulder. Listen, man.
This is the problem. We interpret it differently. So what you see as a robbery, I see at best, a call that was very hard to make and a call that they made based on the video they saw.
Which were poor.
At best, a mistake.
Okay. A mistake. At best, but it's not.
But it's something that was at best. Of all the three calls, that was the most difficult to make, and that was the hardest one to make.
And that's where the referee should have been provided with the right angles and the right images to judge the situation for himself. Do you see the problem, Diego?
We're both looking at the same replay and seeing two different things.
Well, that's classic. I mean, we've been doing that on this podcast for almost 7 years now.
Yeah.
What was the point I was just wanting to make? Hernandez, what was his name? Maeson, I believe his name was. He initially deemed that goal, he ruled off that goal for handball.
Yeah.
He goes back and then deems it not a handball.
Mm-hmm.
In the images, so what VAR is supposed to do, it's supposed to take away any benefit of the doubt. In the image that he was watching, it was full of doubts. So that initial call should have stayed. Instead, he's got Hernandez in his ear saying, it's not a handball. He hits it with his shoulder. Hernandez is insinuating, is basically making this is the decision. No,
he doesn't have a decision. He's look, there's two different conversations. Is that one in... Without one is that if you think that that VAR shouldn't have intervened and that goal shouldn't have stood, that's a different conversation. Now you're saying that VAR shouldn't have intervened to check a possible goal that was disallowed originally, because that's what VAR is for. VAR is literally for those moments. That's why it was made. That's why it was made, man.
No, I didn't say VAR shouldn't intervene. I say.
So, what do you want them to do?
Show the right images, not show images where it is basically impossible to judge where it actually hit him. They should have showed him the frontal image that we saw, or everybody saw in the post-match shows.
The frontal image is pretty conclusive.
That I just showed you.
Yeah.
Kia, man, like. You cannot honestly look at those images and say that he's hitting it with his shoulder.
Yeah, I can. Keep in mind that you and I disagree on so many calls that are very clear to me. This is nothing new for us, as you pointed out. As Vinny pointed out on Twitter, this is the goal he scores on the beach in Brazil. The people on YouTube can watch this beautiful dance I'm doing.
It's elegant. I'll give you that. It's.
Do you think, out of curiosity, do you think that if the ball hit his bicep, he would be able to generate that much power off it to score?
Yeah. No, well, it's the inertia. I mean, it's the motion from the ball. He lobs it over the keeper. It's not like he rocketed that thing into the top corner, neither. It kind of like lobbed over the goalkeeper.
Okay, so let me... This is what's happening, Diego. On that goal, we're having a debate on whether it should have stood or didn't. Doesn't that tell you in itself that there's just that's why I said at best, even if it was not supposed to stand, it was a mistake. It's not this conclusive. The way you guys are treating it is like robbery of the century on a call that no one can figure out and interpret correctly. This is not like a messy handball goal versus Getafe where it's like obvious robbery, or like, let me not go down the list. It's not like that. It's a call that there's misinterpretations on in. Again, it was the right formula for everyone to be outraged yesterday. I thought Xavi's... I don't know what your thoughts on Xavi's post-game was. I thought it was embarrassing.
What exactly?
I don't remember the quotes exactly, but he was basically saying that It's impossible to win this league. We all saw what happened yesterday, kind of along those lines. I'm like, dude, that's not why you're not winning.
I don't think that's embarrassing.
Okay.
I don't think that's embarrassing. All the calls.
I do, because I think it's embarrassing so when Real Madrid TV makes videos.
So many controversial calls have all fallen in favor of Real Madrid. We saw
favor of Real Madrid. Listen to what you're saying. You're putting all in favor of Real Madrid. All in favor.
So far, yeah. How many arguments have we had since the beginning of the season? Look, Kian, at what point in time did I say Real Madrid is going to be champions at the end of the season? You could see already that the way referees were going to call games for Real Madrid.
No, Diego, you only follow the anti-Madridista Twitter accounts.
No, I don't. Absolutely not. Yes, you do. Absolutely. Yeah. Okay, no. I do not. I follow a lot of Madridista more than you follow culés or local Spanish media. I follow the local media. Well, there you go. So there's one person here with tunnel vision and an echo chamber, and I don't see anything.
I
watch the most radicalized YouTubers from Real Madrid as well, from the Iñakis to some other Bikingo channel. I actually want to see and take in a lot of information from all sides.
That's good.
And still, it baffles me that there's never any sort of, you know, pushback or doubt or... Like, I mean, what did you guys talk about in managing Madrid's pod yesterday? Was this discussed? Was there any kind of like, you know, you sent me a text. Oh, no, you put out a tweet. You said Diego's going to have a field day with these calls. And I was like, you know what? Fair play. I'm like, Kian is watching this game the same way that I'm watching this game, the same way that my kids are watching this game, my 8-year-old son and 4-year-old daughter, and we're all up and we can't believe what we're watching.
Of course you are.
Yeah. Fair play for Kian for actually acknowledging that and watching this game go,
sheesh. Acknowledging that you were going to have a field day.
Boy,
acknowledging that you were going to have a field day.
Was actually insinuating that.
You did not disappoint, but I didn't say it was going to be logical. I just knew you were going to be up in arms about it.
Was the non-handball call yesterday for me was clearer than, let's say, the Jude Bellingham bicep, also notably coincidentally against Almeria, where also that got waved off for touching the ball on his shoulder. All the while, I have to sit here and accept that on match day one, a game where we drop points, a game where clearly, and again, looking at all the angles from the camera, Gabi chests that ball down, it gets called for a handball. I cannot make sense of this anymore. It takes away any sort of credibility for this league or any desire for me to even follow the rest of the season, because yes, the script has been written. In that sense, I completely agree with Almeria, what the players and the coach has been saying, that yesterday it was just simply impossible for Almeria to walk away with the 3 points or any points for that matter at all, because it all started with the penalty call that you guys got, where for the life of me, I don't understand why not only Joselu, but Rudiger should have been called for a blatant foul.
No,
I mean,
blatant, that guy could just use the word blatant on what would have been the softest call I've ever seen.
Are you kidding me?
No.
Like, he is literally getting ready to jump over a goddamn horse or a house.
I'm just
going to
let you finish.
For the way that he was pushing off Edgar. That play, when the referee goes and reviews VAR, he should have seen that before the handball of the Almeria defender. That was, you know, of course, it touches his hand, his arm, the Almeria defender's arm, but there's a clear foul taking place right before that.
Did you see Michel's quote after the Girona game?
No.
Great quote. I believe him. I mean, I agree with him. I've been saying the same thing for years. Quote, I don't believe in a black hand. I have the feeling that we are competing under the same conditions as all teams. You know that I don't like when Real Madrid TV puts out those videos of all the calls that have gone our way unfairly. However, I'm glad that someone is at least piling the evidence to debunk the fact that seconds ago, you just said all calls go in favor of Real Madrid.
This season so far, yeah.
Oh, so now you're changing it to this season. So this is a well, this is a this say, is so I, this I season there's a black hand. Got
when
it?
When I said no. Okay,
so this season, you know, I've said many
times on the podcast that Madrid has been the most benefited team in the history of sports, no doubt about it. So sure, okay. Yes,
but that's an opinion. That's an opinion that is obviously debunked as well because there's only one team in the league paying referees, right? Mm-mm. Okay, so no, now you're saying no. Do you understand how difficult?
There's no proof of payment of referees. There's no proof of payment of referees, Kian. There's no proof of that. There's proof of payments to Negreira. There's no proof of payment of referees. You're insinuating that.
Do you understand how difficult it is for me to have this conversation with you? Because it's not based on logic, man. It's based on bias. Like,
what are you talking about?
It is. You literally, like, so if
no,
you...
No, it's not. It is
you,
not.
You cherry pick. Every time I bring something forward to you, you'll say... And the next step is, well, from minute 5 to 9, it's very not clear true, that Real Madrid is benefiting from the referees.
In the context of earlier what we were talking about, I was talking about this season. If you want to open the floor to the however far you want to go back, I will back up my statement that Real Madrid is the most benefited team in the history of football, of sports that I know of. Absolutely.
Okay. What is the team historically with the
most penalty calls? It's Real Madrid that leads the charge. What is the team right now?
You're talking as if Barcelona season, didn't have two straight years without a single penalty called against them. You're talking to a fan who in every single Clásico, there is one massive thing that goes your way.
And they didn't get a penalty call
for
them
who
either.
Every single time Gareth Bale would breathe on Jordi Alba, he had a goal disallowed unfairly. Every time Longley put his cleats on Varane's
thigh, about a team that is winning Champions League in offside positions. I'm talking about a team...
You literally fucked over both Chelsea and Inter and Arsenal a few years ago.
And that is half of the story. Nobody talks about the first legs. And what are you talking about?
Inter? Wow, you just proved my point.
And Chelsea as well.
Okay,
I'm talking about winning Champions Leagues in offside.
Which ones?
Madrid,
okay.
Winning against Bayern Munich. Also, when Carlo Ancelotti himself, as a Bayern Munich coach, said afterwards, yes, those were goals in offside positions. Strange that now he's again coaching for Madrid. He's not complaining. Now that they're not wearing a Madrid shirt anymore, all of a sudden they're realizing that, hey, when you're not wearing a white shirt on the field, attitudes start being a lot more different towards you than when you're wearing a white shirt. That's all fact, Kian.
I'm glad you're bringing up the Bayern offside goals because Bayern had 3 calls went their way, including a goal that should have been disallowed for them, but it wasn't. Okay, so this you see the difference between
who scored,
me and
who scored
the
an
difference
offside.
Between the difference between me and you, Diego, is that you're looking everything in a biased way. I'm saying that referees suck everywhere.
You're not.
Go look at the Premier League. Go look at La Liga. You don't bring up anything that goes against Real Madrid. You only bring up everything that goes for them. And again, even then, you misinterpret. I'm talking to a guy who literally thought the Lucas Vazquez push against Juve was not a penalty a few years ago. Do you remember that? And you still believe that delusionally. Diego, come on, man. You're not thinking clearly. Come on. You're completely biased in this. Completely biased.
Okay, round 2. Name something that's not boring.
Laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
I will admit my bias the day that you start admitting your bias as well. How's that?
As I've said, there are bad referees and incompetency and bad calls everywhere. Every game. I'm in the Michel camp that there is no black hand. thank you. Like, for, it's great that there's one person thinking with their head and not emotion. I'm glad that there's at least someone in there. It's absurd, the hysteria.
I have yet to hear from you one call this season or in prior seasons that has gone in favor of Real Madrid where you say, you know what? Yeah, we shouldn't have gotten away with that. Yesterday is a prime example. I haven't
yesterday was correct.
All three calls were correct. No foul from Rudiger or Joselu. No.
I don't remember the Joselu one.
It's in the same play. Let's limit it to Rudiger. Is it a foul from Rudiger? Yes or no?
I think no. I think the Rudiger one is a play on. I think the most controversial one was the Vinny one. And I think there's separate discussions about, like, the referee looked at the Bellingham foul and decided not to call it. Should he have? I think the fact that he just looked at it and didn't call it is a different conversation, a different thing to be annoyed about, and that's incompetency. That is a referee failing to see a clear foul in broad daylight, and that's why we have VAR to intervene in those situations. Again, man, do you know how many times Bellingham and Vinicius have had the shit kicked out of them? Literally, Bellingham had two penalties, clear penalties against Getafe, and the ref was standing right there and was like, no, get up. You're looking at it only one tunnel vision. It's one lens. One lens. That's it. No, I'm
so
not.
Are you.
Because I'm also saying that there's bad calls for every team.
It would be good if you start mentioning those for Real Madrid instead of always giving the benefit or agreeing, let's say, with the calls that unfairly go your way. And most of the people, I think, out there's opinion, even those of esteemed Madridistas, longtime journalists like Alfredo Relaño, saying that this is one of the darkest pages in Madrid's history.
It doesn't matter what people say in papers. What matters is the truth. Who cares what people say in papers?
But you're denying the truth, Kian. In my view, you're denying the truth, and you're saying that I'm
right.
Biased.
In your view.
Well, and in your view as well. Your view, the truth, is what took place in the Bernabeu, that all those three calls were the correct calls. And for the rest, it's not. So, I mean, you can sit there by yourself and say, I'm right and the rest are wrong, because that is my truth. So who's here culprit and guilty of tunnel vision? You're doing the exact same thing as me, but you're
only
pointing your
fingers
at me.
Because you don't bring up bad calls for any other team. Only things that you disagree with when Real Madrid gets a call their way. That's it.
Well, it's, you know,
I have multiple times on this podcast this season have brought up bad calls. Like, there was one on Real Sociedad a few weeks ago I brought up that was like nobody talked about it because it wasn't Real Madrid.
Come on, Guillaume.
So you don't think referees make bad calls in every single game in La Liga this season? You don't believe that?
Of course I believe that.
Okay. So, but you believe, but when, and it's Real Madrid that gets the call, it's a conspiracy, but not when it happens in any other game. Right?
I just think that in the case of Real Madrid, seeing as they're the ones that profit the most from the calls.
That's an opinion. You cannot back that up factually. Okay, so please preface that by saying, in my biased opinion, ideally, those two words.
Seeing that they are the team that have been awarded the most penalties in the history of La Liga, I think it's fair to say that
You mean one of the two or three teams that has never been relegated and has been around since the very first season of the La Liga, and the team that plays mostly in the final third, could possibly not have had the most penalties awarded towards them. You think that that's true? Because do you remember that era when, last year I think it was, you and I were talking about that one of those Pep years or one of those Neymar years, whenever it was, that Barca had far and away, and it wasn't even close, to most penalties in La Liga that season, and wasn't close. It was an embarrassing number. And you said that's because Barcelona had more possession in the final third. So keep your standards consistent, man.
Ay, ay, ay.
I'm telling you, man. I thought the hysteria yesterday was crazy. It was, to me, a desperation of a fan base that wants to start pointing fingers for everything that's going wrong in their club, in their football, in their corruption, in their scandals.
You know, the funny thing is, you're here talking, making a reference to culés and Barça fans and limiting it to Twitter. When
I actually haven't seen
the
much
hysteria,
to be
most of the hysteria has come from Almería, the club, the coach, and the players themselves, as well as the media outlets. That again, in contrast,
yeah, a lot of loud Almería Twitter accounts, yeah.
Well, I mean, they're a humble side. I don't think we should disrespect them by saying that their opinion isn't valid.
I never said that. I never said that.
They got robbed yesterday.
No, I'm saying that it was. I'm saying that it was not Almeria accounts. It was all Culé accounts losing their shit.
That show up in your Twitter feed then, but
on the Churros Twitter feed, that's the whole algorithm is Mr. Satan and Zona Blaugrana.
Don't try to mute them, Kian. Open your eyes. You're talking
they're
about
they're there. I think it's hilarious. I open it and laugh every time.
You're talking about being happy that somebody's, you know, creating a database or putting together images where you feel Madrid are being hard done by. I'm happy that there are plenty of accounts putting together images.
So but the only valid ones are those ones, right? Right?
No.
The real ones are not valid, those compilations, right? They don't. They're just fabricated. It was AI generated, right? They don't exist. Like you said, all. You said the word all. A-L-L. All calls in favor of Real Madrid. You said that, right? Was it hyperbole? Do you believe that?
What do you mean? Wait. Hold on. Back up. I said earlier. All the calls go in favor of Real Madrid?
Yeah.
Okay, in the heat of the moment here in this discussion, I may have exaggerated. Again, nothing new that we've been doing on this podcast for 7 years.
That's cool.
I do too. All the calls, I think so far this season and historically, the vast majority of the calls have benefited Real Madrid. Yes.
Okay.
And in critical moments, if you want to go a step further, yeah, I stand by that. Now,
I disagree. The Camp Nou with a disallowed goal, pretty much like clockwork. Every Clásico, a goal down.
Oh my days! The only call that I can agree with yesterday is the second goal. How should I put it? The shove, you know, the push off of Bellingham's face. The referee there, even though in the moment it looked like he was going to overlook that, and you can talk about the intensity of it, whether Bellingham went down too easy or not. At the end of the day, you want to see that those kind of plays be consistently called off, because the Almería player turns around. He has won the position already. It's, you feel like in a moment like that, it's unnecessary to extend the arm. Obviously, that's easier said than done, but I think that was the right call. In the case of the first goal, again, it's a foul of Rüdiger on, again, I think it was Edgar. I don't know exactly now, but and dude, I for the life of me do not understand how you can look at that Vinny goal and say that was shoulder and that it is fair play. I look at that images and that ball is hitting right here, dude. It's the bicep. It's closer to his elbow than it is. I showed it to you right now. I'm showing it to you now.
Yeah, I'd like you to show it again. You can show it again so that you prove how wrong you are. Show it again. I'm going to get banned from YouTube. Yep. Right on the shoulder. Yep.
Look at that.
Yep. Right on the shoulder.
Where's that? Where's
right
his
on
elbow,
the shoulder.
Dude?
Right on the shoulder. I wish that we saw this image yesterday so we could have it guaranteed we knew that it was the correct call. This is correct. This is the one Vinny also posts on his Twitter proving that it was the right call. Yep. You're looking at
these conversations being hard for you. It is very, it's a lot more frustrating for me to have these conversations with you, somebody that denies that they are, have tunnel vision and biases.
It's equally frustrating.
That has
for
the
me,
entire Minions in his favor, all the wind blowing your way. You can post this on YouTube.
I thought you said everyone's in your favor. I thought you said all the Real Madrid fans.
On this podcast. And then post this on YouTube when we're done in a few minutes from now, and get all your satisfaction from the comments that will, you know, make fun of me.
I don't
and
comments, you know.
Do all that stuff. You say it's frustrating for you. It's a lot more frustrating for me to time and time have to come on this podcast and face this kind of these kind of dialogues. Trust me.
Okay, man. I'm just gonna say that I think. Listen, I have to fully admit and have to be transparent about and be honest that I got triggered in this podcast. I shouldn't have. I lost my cool a little bit. But trying to
football's an emotional game. You're a Madridista and you defend what in your eyes you see as right, and I'm here to, you know.
Just I apologize if I had a certain tone and got a little bit emotional, but I did want to say now that just thinking about it, trying to think about it calmly and collected, I don't think yesterday was anything close to what most non-Real Madrid people and outlets and coaches and players and whatever portrayed it as, this mass hysteria event. And I thought it was a way to deflect and gaslight away from their own club's corruption. And I also think that what Michel said is something that I've been saying for years. The referees are just bad in every league, and they're terrible. And every single team in sports history, apart from the Lakers and Barcelona, can basically put out a compilation that is equally as... You can put out compilations for Real Madrid. I'll just talk about Real Madrid. Real Madrid can put a compilation out of calls that went their way incorrectly that they benefited from. They can also put out a compilation of calls where they got screwed. Almost every team in sports history can do this. And as I said, I don't like when Real Madrid puts out those TVs on Real Madrid TV. But it is at least evidence that is irrefutable when you watch it. Even though I don't like the fact that they do that, it's still evidence. That you can't like look at those videos and be like, oh yeah. I guess Real Madrid don't get screwed sometimes. Like you can't like look at that and come to the conclusion that this, it's just the refereeing has been bad. What you guys are saying is that no, the referees are not just bad. Real Madrid is benefiting and there's corruption. And when you make baseless accusations like that, I think it just gets really dangerous. That's all. And I hate talking about it. I hate talking about it. Because, dude, there was good football this weekend around Spain. Like, really good football we could have talked about.
No.
I don't like going this
route. You always knew. You knew that we were going to talk about this. You wouldn't have posted that.
No, I didn't know we were going to talk about this song. I thought it would have been a 30-second conversation where I'm just like, yeah, the calls are fine.
You had people going, come on, Kian. Prepare yourself. Stand your ground, Kian. I saw the tweets, man. I hope you did everybody. You made your followers happy. And I think, look, this is a conversation that was inevitable. We had not one, not two, but three. If you don't want to call the controversial calls, at least that needed to be discussed, calls that were going to raise pulses, obviously polarizing calls that certain people see one way, other people see another way. And we are here to discuss the football, but also the calls that at the end of the day had an influence on the outcome. you know, instead of Madrid dropping points, you guys picked up three valuable points that allowed you to maintain the gap at seven. Barça had a hard-fought game over in the Benito Villamarín against a tough home ground, tough Betis side. The only team so far, if I'm not mistaken, that has managed to win at the Betis ground. And yeah, in my opinion, had certain calls been made the other way, we could have been talking about a Barça that would have closed the gap to 4 points, to 6 points, who knows. But it is what it is, man. It is what it is.
You asked earlier, what did we talk about in the Manager Madrid podcast? An hour of football analysis about why Real Madrid were bad in the first half and why they were good in the second half. And about 5 minutes on the referee calls, we went through it.
Sure. I mean, because you guys all agreed. I'm unanimous.
Yeah, because they're pretty, across again, the board. Again, it's pretty clear.
Right, but you okay? Fine,
That's why I honestly thought it was going to be like 5 minutes of that on this podcast. I was very curious to know, like, because I
thought I was going to sit here and go, "Oh yeah, yeah, no, yeah, you're right. All good calls."
I know I didn't expect you to do that, but I didn't expect it to be the whole podcast. Is what I'm saying.
Well, we still have some time left, so
I'm curious to know, like,
See. Betis Barça. It was a very entertaining game.
Recording a podcast while it was happening, so I didn't get to see it. I saw the highlights. I was curious to know, like, your thoughts on it. It seemed like Barça played well. You got really great Ferran Torres performance. It was like 5-10 minute stretch where it looked like you guys were collapsing with the Isco brace.
Yes. It got scary for sure. I think Barça came out, you know, with the intention to play, quote unquote, the right way. Three forwards. Barça, in particular, in the first half, controlled the game thanks to superior midfield. I thought Frankie's leadership was pivotal. You know, Barça's formation in the end included, as you pointed out rightfully, another 16-year-old in Cubarsí. Araujo and Koundé as well. And we played with an advanced defensive line. I thought Pedri and Gundogan really tried to set the tone and tried to set up Lewandowski and Ferran Torres. Torres, who had a great game. Anybody that scores three goals scores a hat-trick and an assist. Still doesn't end up winning the MVP at the end of the game.
I was surprised. I was confused about that, actually.
Yeah, you're not the only one. That was very confusing indeed.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lamine Yamal and Balde dominating the flanks. And an initial scare in that first half where Iñaki Peña came to the rescue to stop Luis Enrique from putting Betis up in the first half. But all in all, really, you know, a very positive first half. I watched that first half and saw Betis struggling under the Barça dominance. And that really, you know, gave some hope, so to speak. And I was cautious already not to fall into the trap of saying, okay, you know, and I'm still cautious now, meaning, you know, we only need to rewind the tape to the first half of the season to remember that the Barça Betis game ended in a manita and a 5-0 drubbing. So, and we all thought that was it. You know, Barça we found the secret formula. We were going to click and we was going to propel us to a successful season. let alone, I mean, after we had that Champions League game against Antwerp, but after that it was, you know, abysmal. I mean, the decline in, of Barca's play was has been something, well, it's been documented on this podcast. It's been quite a depressive affair. So I was cautious heading into the second half, is what I'm trying to say. Betis responded thanks to a great Fekir and Isco, of course, who managed to combine for two quick successive goals. Beautiful goals, mind you. I mean, Iñaki was I would say pretty much chanceless. And you know, that's when the Benito Villamarín came to life, of course. The crowd was energized in that second half, in the final minutes. Barca had to reset their strategy and kind of try to regain control over the ball. Luckily, they did manage to do so. Xavi, I got to give the coach credit here, again, for substitutions, mainly for not just putting the right player back on, or not only for putting the right player on in Joao Felix, but taking Lewandowski off, man. You know, that really turned the tide in that final stretch of the second half. Lewandowski, who continues to underperform and underwhelm. I was a little bit scared he was going to take Ferran off because, you know, Lewandowski sometimes gets, you have the impression that he's maybe one of those untouchables, but kudos to Xavi for having enough character to take off the you know, reputable and prominent striker that is right now just the shadow of himself in Robert Lewandowski. Puts on Joao Felix. He, like I said, I mean, turned the tide around, intensified Barca's attack, and just scored an absolute beauty in the 90th minute or so. Yeah, I mean, talk about cool, calm, collected. Just a beautiful goal with the outside of his boot to put Barca up by 3-2, and allowing in the end, you know, Betis, of course, having to push forward as well and leaving some gaps in the defense. It was a great Lamine Yamal, whose maybe name I haven't mentioned enough, because he had a stellar, stellar game. I mean, what a difference Lamine Yamal makes to this Barca offense. Please, Xavi, continue to put him in. I know Rafinha, you know, he'll be back soon. But when we have this version of Lamine Yamal, I don't care if he's 16. I know in the beginning of the season, when we started to record the podcast for the season, I said, I hope Xavi, you know, dosifica or takes it step by step and kind of tempers his playing minutes by that. But you know, at this point in time, it's like you're just slowing down his growth, which could be exponential. Lamine Yamal has to play. Barca is better when he's playing, and he set up Ferran Torres for the 4-2, and also Ferran, I mean, a great finish in that final goal to put all of our nerves at ease, and in the end take I don't want to say a comfortable victory, but you know, a triumphant win in the Benito Villamarín. Xavi's bold decisions and you know, our forward competitiveness are good signs for Barca. Let's hope that we can build on this. This win was needed. You know, we're coming off of the Copa game as well, and a game against that where we famously managed to win by more than just one goal margin. Well, we did it again, this time against an opponent that is of higher caliber. But like I said, I mean, I hope it's not a replay of what we saw in the first half of the season, where we came off of a very dominant performance in the 5-0 win against Betis at the Camp Nou, or at the Lluís Companys Stadium. And, you know, let's keep moving, man. Let's keep moving. There's still cups to be won, tournaments to be competed. La Liga, I insist, is over and dusted and done with. But it's about finishing the season strong and trying to win something, if we can. And then we will have to wait and see what, you know, the outcome is of Xavi, if he stays, and how this team is playing. But it was a step forward in the right direction, despite the scare. I mean, you coming, being up by 2-0 and then having to again come back to win, and allowing the opposition to get 2 goals back is, you know, it's what's the word I'm looking for? It's inexcusable. You just can't allow that to happen. Not at this stage of the season in particular. And I saw, funny, I was trying to bring it up just now while we were talking, an Opta stat. Let me see if I can get it. Where it turns out that Barca are, here we go. Here. Barca have taken 10 points from goals scored in the last 5 minutes of La Liga games this season. More than
I saw that actually, yeah.
Competition, you know.
See, for all the stuff you say about Real Madrid, remontada, you guys are the most clutch team in Spain this season.
Well, I mean,
which actually surprised me. The stats surprised me. I don't remember them all, but because all I can remember is like the Bellingham game winners in like the last second. Listen, I still disagree with you on, I don't know if you still feel this way, but the idea that the league was over. Like, an example like yesterday, how close
were... Well, I mean, hopefully Girona can compete it, but I mean, Barca are out of the race.
Let me, you're not. How can you say that? How close were we to losing yesterday? That would have gone from 7 points to 4 points. 4 points is nothing. It can flip in an instant. I mean, you guys are not 17 points back. It's not that far back.
A lot will have to go wrong for Barca to get back in the hunt for the league title. Or a lot will have to go right, put it that way.
I mean, we're wrong for us. The thing is that I think you would have been banking on the fact that Real Madrid historically have the... January dip, which we're almost through, and if we can get past that new year hump that we go through and come out on the other side, maybe we've been able to sustain it enough. But I guess it, I mean, two things have to happen. Real Madrid, things have to go wrong for Real Madrid, and of course Barcelona have to go right. And I said it yesterday, I'm not worried as much going to the Camp Nou. I mean, the Clásico, which is at the Bernabéu, actually. I'm more concerned about games like yesterday. Where, yes, I mean, that first half, we were just sleeping. It was pretty bad. And so we need to make sure we don't become complacent. And of course, Girona continue to prove me wrong. I keep on saying they can't sustain. And I think at this point,
mad respect.
I was just... very disrespectful to them. They've sustained it. I mean, how much more can we ask them to sustain it? We'll see.
Yeah, they are defying odds at the moment, and hopefully they will be able to hang in there until you know, the very end, making this a very exciting finish to the La Liga season. I would love it, of course, if they manage to win, not just because it means Madrid won't, but to have a new La Liga team and a Cinderella-like, a Leicester-like story in La Liga, I think will be great for the league. And yeah, Michel is doing a great job. I mean, fantastic job. I mean, what was it? 3 goals in how many minutes? I don't have it up here, but they took care of Sevilla.
Dovbyk's hat trick was in 6 minutes.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Insane.
Sevilla, do you think they'll go down? They're so close to the relegation. I think they're only 1 point clear.
They're very close. We spoke to Ben Harbour. You know, they were just hovering above the relegation zone, or they were in 18th place. Here we go. I got
what a great refreshed guest, by the way. We should inform our listeners. So on
absolutely
last week, I think it was Friday. On the patron pod. So patreon.com/churrosytacticas. We were joined by Cadi's co-owner, Ben Harburg. And it was one of the most interesting, fascinating conversations I've had in a long time. We spoke about, his vision with Cadiz after taking over, squad development and what they do with their budget in terms of scouting, his thoughts on, you know, American ownerships in general in Europe, whether with Roma, Milan, Chelsea, what they've done since coming in. It was fascinating. I thoroughly
Super
enjoyed
League.
It.
We talked
I
learned Super a
lot.
League.
Super League. He talked about Cadiz's stance on the Super League. It was awesome. I would encourage everybody to go listen to that. It's about neither Real Madrid nor Barcelona, and it was just a breath of fresh air, I thought, in the podcast. And the feedback from patrons was great as well.
Yeah.
Patreon.com/churrosytacticas. Amazing discussion.
For sure. Great guest. And there's more to come. And this one in particular, I mean, yeah, the feedback was great. They're calling it iconic, historic, one of the best pods. And these Churros y Invitados editions series is receiving just great feedback all in all together. From Elisha to Andrea Orlandi, and now we got to talk to an owner. So we're diversifying our guests and getting good insights from all angles surrounding this beautiful game of football. And it's worth, you guys, I mean, you just got to go over to patreon.com/churrositacticas because you get your money's worth. It's great listen. It's a great listen. Sevilla could go down. It's hard for me to imagine that they do, given their stature as one of La Liga's big clubs. It wouldn't be the first time, of course. Remember, you know, maybe not a guess, but I certainly remember when Atletico went down to spend some time in El Infierno, in hell, as they called it at the time. But they're right there, man. They're right there. It's uncomfortably close for the Sevilla side to be, you know, and at this stage in the season, to be hovering around those spots. There was something I wanted to mention. Just quickly. You're out of the Copa. You know, you were close to having your first, I think, back-to-back losses in so far this season, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
We talked about this third chapter being a completely different game. This is before. I just quickly wanted to get your take because, again, it was a hugely entertaining match, derby between Atletico and Madrid. This time, the coin flipped the other way, and Atletico knocked you out. No treble. I know a lot of Madridistas are dying to win a treble. That's not going to happen.
It's never going to happen. Never.
I know that you seem to, being the optimist that you are, you're probably thinking or putting the message out that, hey, Copa out of the way. No one cares.
Yes.
We can focus
that's the glass half full outlook.
Matter.
Yeah.
Matter. Yeah.
I've never been optimistic about Copa del Rey in my life. Never, ever. And I don't think I ever will be. Sometimes we'll win it like last season. Those are outliers. If I know beforehand I'm going to be knocked out of Copa del Rey, I'd rather be done sooner rather than later so that we don't have to play extra games for no reason. It was a grueling game that I think we were just so exhausted by the end of it, and we made a ton of mistakes, and Atletico at home is, you know, a really difficult place to play for us in particular because their fans just go to another level. And I wasn't as harsh on Real Madrid as a lot of Real Madrid fans, I think, were really, really upset about the loss. I'm like, dude, it was our second loss of the season. Both losses have come in that stadium. And we just look gassed. And now we can focus on these two competitions. So I'm not saying it was like ideal and we shouldn't have high standards at Real Madrid or whatever, but we can just focus now. Now the question is, like, can we actually focus and play well? We have players coming back, which is nice. And the schedule, like, it's funny, like, now, because of being eliminated from the Copa del Rey, our schedule is lighter than yours. You guys play against Athletic away on Wednesday in the Copa del Rey. It's an extra game. Then once you get to the semifinals, if you beat them, that's another two extra games because it goes to two legs. How are you feeling about that one?
We're not beating Athletic at the Catedral.
Classic jinx. It doesn't. No. Your jinx does not work here.
No, you're the jinx meister. I'm just being realistic here. Unless we see Barca sustain this improvement in their game that we saw last night, I don't see Xavi's side having the character or the attitude right now to overcome a packed San Mamés with an Athletic Club that will be gunning to advance in this competition. And I don't see it. Hopefully I'll be, I can eat my words come Thursday and we pull off a heroic win, but I don't see it. I don't see it happening. And mind you, I'm of somewhat of the similar belief as you, me being that although I think that La Liga is out of reach and the Champions League, it's a unicorn. I mean, it's a fantasy. We cannot compete seriously for a Champions League trophy this season, meaning that all we have left to play for is a Copa del Rey title. Call me spoiled or call me whatever it is you want. It doesn't give me any thrills anymore winning the Copa del Rey title. It's more of a competition that I would prefer. Even though the finals themselves can be, are emotional matches, they're fun to watch, and certainly, the build up to it can be fun to watch as well. I feel like with all the games that these players have to play, it's just it's exhausting for them, and I would prefer to field, the bench players and bring more players up from the youth categories to dispute these matches where, the regular starters should rest.
Athletic this season, actually finishing their chances for once. Like they're still three behind their expected goals, but they're way better at finishing this season even still. And they're only 9 goals away from their entire goals scored last season. That's the main difference between Athletic this season and last season, is that they're actually finishing chances at a higher clip. Last season, they were notorious for getting in good goal scoring positions and having no one who can put the ball in the back of the net. So, yeah, it'll be a tough game. But hey, man, Benito Villamarín and showed some big balls there, so it's not out of the question.
Well, let's see. I mean, look, we beat them this season, and it took a 17, 18-year-old kid to put in the shot,
Mark, on
goal and the winning goal. Yeah.
I love every day there's just a new Barca kid who just appears on the scene. And then
see him Xavi for a while, him out,
comes
man.
Back.
I like it.
Yamal played good yesterday, it seemed.
Super good. That's what I was saying. Yeah, I mean, I maybe should have mentioned it more, but he was... It's a different team when he's on the floor, on the pitch.
All right, man. Anything else?
Not for now, sir.
All right. Let's see what the next podcast awaits. We will have one Copa del Rey game to speak about before the end of the week. I'm sure more. Are Atletico playing this week too? They must be.
Yeah, I think they're all this. It should be all this week.
So we'll be back over on patreon.com/churrositacticas. If you thought this one was emotional, wait till you get to the patron editions. Are we getting guests this week? If not, we can put out a call for questions.
No, I don't have anybody lined up. I need to make my calls.
So even juicier then, because when there's a guest, we're both on our best behavior. It's like when you take your kids to someone else's house and all of a sudden they're like, oh, your kids are such angels, because they haven't seen the kids at home. So in that case, we'll ask for questions, and the questions always get us to argue about something. So that's over for patrons over on patreon.com/churrositacticas. All right, man. Good chatting. I apologize for calling you delusional. That was in the heat of the moment.
No offense taken, dude. It's the name of the game. We know how this is. Like I said, we've been doing this for 7 years. For 7 years. And I know some of you want me to go. I ain't going anywhere. I'm hanging in here. Until the very last hair on this head is gray. I'm sticking around for the ride, baby. I'm sorry.
I had a soccer game last night, and it's on a new team. I'm only 2 games. Last night was my second game. And I'm the newest guy on the squad. And so I got in an argument with someone because he was talking about robberies yesterday. He was a Kool-Aid, I guess. And I told him, no, they were all the correct calls. And then we became friends by the end of it. I was feeding him some good balls down the line.
Wait. Whoa. Way to make an impression.
When they're banging your body.
When the guy's banging you.
When the guy's banging you.
All right, my friend. We're going to keep on banging on this pod. Like you said, join us on Patreon. Follow us on social media. And I got to go open the door. I don't know if you hear the doorbell ringing, but
no.
My wife is outside the door.
Oh, she's dude, run. Go. Like, go. Don't let her wait. All right, go. All right,
my friend.
Good chatting. Take it easy. Peace.
Peace. Sports Social Podcast Network.